This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message. And if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll give us eyes that see, ears that hear, and soft, repentant hearts that turn, that we might find healing from you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Have you ever wondered why Satan would try to tempt Jesus with his own glory? Why would Satan expect Jesus to worship him to gain what he already has? Isn't that a lot like me going to get my car from the mechanic after having my tires rotated, and the mechanic saying, "Sure, we'll give you your car back now, and all you have to do is change your name and deny your identity for the rest of your life." Sounds like a good deal to me. Or you can come back in an hour and pay for what we agreed. Yeah, that'd be a no for me, thanks. I knew what the cost was going to be, and I'm ready to pay it. What I'm not willing to do is trade who I am. Plus, here's the kicker. It's my car. My car. So why would Satan, a deceiver and tempter, such a seemingly terrible pitch? This always confused me. But I learned that what Satan offered Jesus wasn't the glory that was already his. Satan offered Jesus what would be his without having to endure the cross. The temptation wasn't the glory. It was the much less painful shortcut to get there. Do you think you could take the long, hard road of the cross? Where Jesus succeeded, we often fail, preferring our comfort and our ease to God-given identities as his gospel ministers. And that's why Jesus came. As Christians, we are called to live our lives on the same altar where Jesus offered himself, taking up our crosses and following him, because we know that glory is on the other side of sacrifice. Christians live in the shadow of the cross, ever walking into the light of his glory. Paul explores this invitation, taking the route of sacrifice for others as an act of worship to the one true God. That is his final encouragement for the Philippians. Paul's message here isn't about winning football games. Doesn't matter how many guys put Philippians 4:13 on their eye black, that verse is not about winning football games. It's about offering God all that we are, so we can find contentment in all that he is. And this isn't theoretical. Paul gives us concrete examples of what it looks like. It's through the act of partnering together, giving and receiving in fellowship with other believers, that we climb onto the altar as a fragrant aroma to our God. And it's there we find contentment and even deep joy, because we were made for this. Throughout Philippians, we talked about unity, partnership, and our mission as we've studied together. But Paul lands on an altar. Jesus is our great example and the one who strengthens us that we may stand against temptation. How do Paul's teachings on partnership and contentment help us enter into the life of Christ? How do they teach us to live lives on the altar, that we may be strengthened by the one who died there? Gospel partnership is a gift we receive and a sacrifice that we offer. Jesus could have taken the shortcut to glory without the cross, but the cross was the only path to our redemption. Taking on our humanity, living and suffering as we do, dying for the sins we could never atone for, these were acts of Christ's partnership with his people that bring us into redemption. because of his partnership with us in our humanity, we get to be invited into his glory. That means that gospel partnership is itself a model for the story that he's called us to live into. Look again at verses 10 through 13. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. We bring our circumstances to the altar, and there we receive contentment. Paul is grateful for what the Philippians sent him, but he says his contentment isn't rooted in what he has. His contentment is found in the one who strengthens him. Our circumstances do impact us greatly, and it's right that they do, but they don't define us or determine how content we're capable of being. This falls into that lovely category of easier said than done, doesn't it? Believing it isn't hard. Doing it is where we get stuck. But contentment is a fight against the selfish desires that keep us from what we most need. Everything we hear and are taught tells us that happiness comes from just a little bit more. Advertisers want us to believe it. Our employers want us to believe it. Social media wants us to believe it. Most stories are centered on the assumption that if he just had the girl, he'd be happy. If he had promotion, her life would matter. If I was just a little smarter, a little more successful, a little more recognized, a little healthier, a little prettier, a little more loved, a little more respected, then I'd have enough. But Paul says that it was through his times of need, as well as through times of plenty, that he discovered the real secret of contentment, the strength of Christ. This isn't realized through positive thinking. It's not self-improvement. It's communion with Jesus in his suffering that strengthens us and strengthens Paul. It's the relationship between the redeemed and the Redeemer. Paul learned from his own experiences of lack as well as of abundance, that contentment isn't in what we have. It's in receiving what we need most from the hand of God. This again points to Paul's teaching on anxiety from the previous section. Where are most of our anxieties? Will I have what I need to face the obstacles ahead? What if I trust God and he doesn't pull through like I hope he will? What if he leads me through dark places that hurt? What if he takes what I love most? As we said last week, prayer places such concerns back in the hands that are big enough to hold them. And although he doesn't always respond the way we were hoping he would, he always responds himself. When he doesn't give us what we ask, he gives us what we need, his strength, his contentment. And this is the heart of worship, finding our satisfaction in Christ rather than in our circumstances, trusting his goodness more than our situation. When we see what we have as an opportunity to partner with others in Jesus' gospel mission, what he's given us becomes all that we need. We bring our circumstances to God's altar, and sometimes he sends a brother or sister to fulfill that need. Other times, we get to be the ones sent to fulfill another's need. At all times, he gives us contentment as we offer him our circumstances and our needs. Now, let's look at verses 14 through 17. Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. We offer our partnership on the altar, and he gives us eternal fruit. Paul's desire for the Philippians financial benefit in this life, their partnership points to something greater than the gifts involved. It's a willingness to share one another's trouble. Paul says they were the only ones who partnered with him in the beginning of his ministry. That had to be pretty discouraging. Have you ever gone through a time that was confusing or dark or lonely, and you just needed someone? You needed a person to be present with you. You didn't just need someone's help. Gift cards wouldn't do the trick. You needed a person who loved you. There have been a couple of times when something just went really bad, and I didn't know what I needed or if there was any solution. But I knew I could call Edwin and say, "I need you home now." And it didn't matter what was going on. He dropped everything and came home. We don't get many people like that in this life. But having one, just one, makes a world of difference. Woodland just completed a partnership with Church of the Cross. It's a church plant in Birmingham from Terry. They are now fully established as an official church and are planting another church. How cool is that? I reached out to Jess, the assistant pastor there, and asked her, "What did Woodland's partnership mean for you, especially at the beginning of your ministry?" Here's her answer. "The financial support from Woodland freed Zach and me to spend more time actually ministering to and being present with people. A lot of the people involved in Church of the Cross are de-churched. They've had some kind of negative, painful experience with church and church leaders, and as they heal, they tend to be slower to give financially. It was a blessing to know that the burden to meet the church's needs was not on them, because God had already provided for us through financial partnerships like that with Woodland." And that's something you've already done. How cool is that? One gospel partner makes a world of difference when you're walking through a time that feels uncertain. The desire to prove ourselves in strength instead of admitting our weakness and need can be very strong for some. But we see Paul resist that temptation by admitting his needs and asking the churches to be means of God's grace by providing for those needs. Although he is content in all circumstances, he still needs his brothers and sisters. He still has weakness that requires help from others. Contentment and asking for help are not mutually exclusive. In fact, knowing that God's people care and want to meet our needs can help strengthen us to get to a contentment. So how comfortable are you asking for help? Partnership isn't only about the giving. Biblical partnership in the global church is about giving and receiving. We prove that we belong to God by our love for one another. We prove the safety and goodness of the church, showing that it is a place where it is safe to admit needs and to ask for help. Why are we so slow to admit that we are humans in need of help from God and from one another? I have an inkling about the answer to that question. I think it might be pride. We hide behind our own abilities rather than taking on God's sufficient grace because we want people to think we can handle it. "We got this. I don't need anything. I'm just fine. Thank you very much." But when we humble ourselves and enter into partnership by being the body of Christ, depending on one another, we show our hurting neighbors what it looks like to live for heavenly rewards instead of earthly honor. We stop proving ourselves and lean into faith in what Christ has already done for us. We come to the altar and offer partnership, both as givers and receivers in this community of grace. We receive heavenly fruit that produces far greater returns than our earthly investments. God is not mocked. We will reap what we sow. For those who sow into the things of God with their time, money, and affections, that's a promise, not a warning. So finally, let's look at verses 18 through 23. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied. Epaphroditus, the gifts that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So third, we offer our lives on God's altar and we receive his supply. Paul says that our partnership with other believers, particularly those who aren't physically with us, isn't only a gift to them. It's worship to God that he receives as a pleasing scent. Everything we offer to God is something we received from him first. We can only give what he's given us. We have no idea how large or small the gift was that the Philippians sent. It doesn't really matter. What we know is what it meant to God and to Paul. Could God have provided for Paul another way? Sure. He didn't need the church to help him provide for Paul. He has all resources that he could possibly need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. There's no lack with God. So his call to partner with others as co-laborers, workers in the gospel, is a call to be his means of grace to our brothers and sisters. And our obedience to that call is a delightful scent that fills heaven. When we partner with other believers in pursuit of the gospel mission, it's an act of worship and of faith. To do so recognizes that God is worthy of all that we are. Partnership admits that the mission is greater than any one person, and it's for every single person. God calls us to partner with him in his work in real, concrete ways through obedience. He asks us to see our own need as his opportunity to bind us into the body of Christ. He invites us into his mission by obeying his call to partner with others in their need. He calls us to climb onto the altar, to offer our whole selves, that we may receive what only he can supply. Supernatural strength, soul-deep joy, gospel partnership with him and with one another, contentment that goes beyond all circumstances, and his grace for every moment and every season. To take hold of all that he offers, we must offer our whole selves. We can't hold anything back. We live in the shadow of the cross. But we're always walking into the light of his glory. It's the tension between the two, between the altar and the glory. It's there that we live in partnership with one another. It ain't easy, and it ain't painless. It's costly and difficult, but it's also very, very good. It's what we were made for. When we release our grasp on our lives and place them in his hands, we can take full hold of the joy that he offers. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. If you would like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. God bless you today.